This is Find Your Dream Job, the podcast that helps you get hired, have the career you want, and make a difference in life. I'm your host, Mac Pritchard. I'm also the founder of MaxList. It's a job board in the Pacific Northwest that helps you find a fulfilling career. Every Wednesday, I talk to a different expert about the tools you need to get the work you want. Find Your Dream Job is brought to you by Top Resume. Top Resume has helped more than 400,000 professionals land more interviews and get hired faster. Get a free review of your resume today. Go to maxlist.org/topresume. One study found that recruiters spend just 7 seconds looking at your resume. So it's important to have a well-organized and targeted resume. But what's the best way to do this? Kirsten Greggs is here to talk about what matters most when a recruiter looks at your resume. She's the founder and CEO of Trap Recruiter. It's a recruiting and career coaching firm that bridges the gap between job seekers and employers. She joins us from the Washington, D.C. area. Well, let's jump right into it, Kirsten. Do recruiters really scan resumes in 7 seconds or less?
Absolutely. I actually have a whole series about the 6-second scan because that was what we folks who came up in my era, you know, 20 years ago, that was our benchmark, that it was a 6-second scan. So 7 is actually, we're giving it 1 more second of notice, which is a great thing to hear.
It might distress some listeners to hear that they're getting such a short amount of attention given the amount of work that goes into creating a resume. Tell us why recruiters are spending this amount of time in that initial scan and what they hope to get when they look at it.
Well, it's just what you said, Mac. It is that initial scan. We're looking for certain criteria that are going to make us want to put you into the come back later and take a deeper dive pile. And for those people who we want to weed out quickly and not spend a great deal of time, that's more so where that 6 or 7 seconds comes in. So, for example, say that we are looking for a specific certification or a specific level of education or even a specific job title, previous or current. We go to place, our eyes will go to places on the resume that will let us know, you know, yes or no, and then move on.
How can a job seeker know what might matter to a recruiter doing that scan? What kinds of credentials or educational requirements are going to be most important?
It really does depend on the position. But a lot of times we're trying to tie those perhaps top 3 must-haves or those top 3 past experiences to our role. And that's what we're pinpointing. That's what we're looking for. I do want to stress that some of these things have been made easier. And with the introduction of folks using more AI tools to at the top of the funnel, if that means anything to the job seekers, probably not. But at the beginning screening stages, it does help us that we have IT tools that assist us in pinpointing those right things that our eyes may not have seen.
Tell us more about those IT tools, Kirsten. How do you use them and how do you set them? How does a job seeker figure out what those top 3 things might be that matter?
That's a great question. Thank you. So first and foremost, I do want to help everyone understand that the applicant tracking system, you know, where you're uploading your resume or what's being pulled from your LinkedIn profile into our systems internally, those systems are not kicking you out. Like there's not a robot sitting there that's telling you you're not qualified. It's giving us criteria. It's a place where your resume is stored. It's a place where your profile is stored that allows us to come and review things. Now we do get triggers. We do get, you know, quote unquote notices that say, you know, yes, this person has experience in X, Y, and Z, or yes, this person meets the requisite education, or yes, this person has the requisite certifications and training, but I do want folks to know that there's no robot that's throwing you away. So that's first and foremost. Second, like I said, our applicant tracking systems are one of those tools. And then there are AI tools that are used specifically for us, either sourcing or either us going out and sourcing, or that are bringing, that are data mining your information prior to us opening your profile.
I'm glad you brought that up, Kirsten, because I think many listeners do worry that a robot is making a decision about whether they move forward in the hiring process. And what I'm hearing you say is that the applicant tracking system is a way of receiving, organizing, and sharing applications. It's not a tool for rejecting people when they first apply. Is that correct?
Yes, absolutely. It helps us be more efficient because, as you know, especially right now, there are a great deal of jobs and there are a great deal of job seekers who are looking to fill those jobs. So it gives us more time to do the high touch aspects of our job that build relationships and that actually lend to a more favorable candidate experience, if I'm going to be frank.
Yeah. And the applications do get that initial scan by a recruiter. When that scan is happening, what could disqualify a candidate right from the start?
Things that disqualify are, like I said, those baseline requirements, those deal breakers. Like if you're an attorney or if I'm looking for an attorney and you're not licensed in at all, or even in my state, you know, if that's a factor, that might be that's kind of a deal breaker. I can't do anything about that. If you're a truck driver or if I'm looking for a truck driver and you don't have your CDL, like that's going to be a deal breaker for me, in terms of how much attention or how much detailed attention I'm going to give to your application when there are perhaps 5, 10, 15, or 20 people who meet that requirement right off of the bat.
Okay. Well, let's talk about what other things that matter when a recruiter looks at your resume and how you can organize your resume to put your best foot forward. Number one on your list of recommendations, Kirsten, is to show that you have the right experience. Tell us more about this and why it matters.
But what I mean by the right experience is I like to see that the job seeker has read the job description. Understand again that I'm taking for granted that the job description was well written and you had an understanding of what it is and you were tying your experience to that. I want to know that that person is seeing themselves in that job. They're saying, like, this is my next role. They have organized and presented their resume in a way that says the positions that I'm hiring for are their next job.
How do you see candidates do that effectively? Once they've read the job description, they've sat down to revise their resume. What does someone who does it well do at that stage?
Making things easier for us in that 6-7 second scan, are things like having your name prominently available, having your contact information, having your job title, your skill summary. And a lot of folks still are not putting like that they're a talent acquisition consultant like I am. And I'm going through your resume reading, you know, what it is that you do or what it is that you want to do in your next job. You know, you're a project manager that's focused on X, Y, and Z. Like that should be at the top. That should be prominent. That should be one of the first thing I see. And then also highlighting the best of your achievements first. So for someone like me, a TA consultant, yes, I have a master's degree, but that's not as important a skill as some other things like my ability to talk about how I foster a productive, an inclusive candidate experience. Like, that's what I'm looking for. I don't think that someone would be as excited about, you know, do I have a master's degree? That doesn't mean that I can do the job when I'm speaking of my role specifically.
You talked a moment ago about the importance of looking at a job description and assuming that it's well-written, using that to inform how you reorganize and present your resume. Are there other steps you recommend as a recruiter, Kirsten, to understand what it is that is going to be most important to the recruiter looking at your resume besides looking at the job description?
Yes. So recruiters are and are not subject matter experts. And any time that we can learn more about the specific industry, the specific role, by reading your experience or learning more about your experience from what you've presented, or even if you wrote things that have me want to know more about something that you said, like, that's what's going to stand out. Those are the things that are going to move you to the interview stage, at a minimum, the phone screen stage, which is where you talk to us first.
Well, terrific. We're going to take a break, Kirsten. Stay with us. When we come back, Kirsten Griggs will continue to share her advice on what matters most when a recruiter looks at your resume. Kirsten's resume advice is spot on. The experts at Top Resume can help you too. Go to maxlist.org/top-resume. A Top Resume writer will review your resume for free. Go to maxlist.org/top-resume. Find out how you can improve your resume right away. And if you don't want to fix your resume yourself, you can hire Top Resume to do it for you. Go to maxlist.org/top-resume. Now, let's get back to the show. We're back in the MaxList studio. I'm talking with Kirsten Griggs. She's the founder and CEO of Trap Recruiter. It's a recruiting and career coaching firm that bridges the gap between job seekers and employers. She joins us from the Washington, D.C. area. Now, Kirsten, before the break, we were talking about what matters most when a recruiter looks at your resume. And we talked about showing that you got the right experience, and you shared some ideas about how to do that and research what matters most to recruiters when they're scanning your resume so you can make sure your resume reflects those priorities. Number two on your list of what matters most when a recruiter looks at your resume is to pay attention to how you talk about yourself. What do you have in mind here, Kirsten?
Yes, showing your value proposition, how you have in the past added value to your organization. When I'm coaching people, I frame it as, what would not have happened if you weren't here? And I know that's probably a poorly organized grammatical sentence, but I mean, that sentence is poorly organized grammatically, but I think folks understand what I'm saying. So if not for you, what are those things that you added yourself that no one else could have, or that no one else did?
So you recommend that a candidate think about what might have happened if what a difference they had made because they were there.
Yes. And just be cautious not to rewrite the job description. And I'm not speaking just on the one that you're pursuing. I mean, the one that you have and the ones that you've had in the past. I've seen a lot of folks copy and paste what their organizations say about the role, what the compensation department, or whoever is responsible for leveling the positions, they'll just copy and paste those attributes. And that's not the best approach, because at the end of the day, if 2, 3, or 4 people who have that same role decide to do that, how is it that you stand out? How are you differentiating yourself?
Why do achievements matter more to you and your fellow recruiters when scanning a resume than talking about responsibilities?
because we're going to get excited, you know, and I don't want to use this word before its negative connotation, because people do think when recruiters talk about selling a candidate, you know, that comes across sometimes in a negative way, but we really want to put the best part of you forward. Like, we want to be just as excited about you and relay that to our hiring managers and say, hey, here's why, you know, this person is a great person for this role.
What do you think, Kirsten, stops candidates from talking about their achievements rather than their responsibilities?
It's very difficult for people to celebrate themselves. I have a hard time doing that. You know, it's easy for me to pull out the best in people, but it's hard to pull out the best in yourself.
Well, next on your list of what matters most to a recruiter who's looking at your resume is, and you mentioned this earlier, is to show that it's the next job. Tell us more about this, because people often, do you find that most applicants are clear about what they want in their next job?
No, I don't think a lot of people are. I ask this question for as many phone screens as I have per day. I ask this question every time, and all but perhaps one of those times, if not every time, I ask the question, when I ask the question, what are your top three for your next role? You know, if you were given the opportunity to design your next job, what are the top three things, the top three characteristics that it must have? People are always taken aback because they either have not been asked that question or they say, wow, that's a great question. And then they're able to, like I said, put themselves into it. And they're not just talking about the role. They're talking about themselves, what matters to them. So they're, with my lead, connecting themselves to the position.
And what are you listening for when someone gives you an answer to that question about what are the top three characteristics that are most important to you in your next job?
I'm listening for authenticity, because what matters to them is what matters to them. So if someone says to me, I want a job that is 10 minutes from home, where I don't have to travel, you know, where, as opposed to a good work-life balance, because that's kind of vague, and that could mean that what that means to me is not what that means to someone else, if that makes sense. So when someone is more descriptive, when someone is authentic and honest about, you know, the underlying reasons why this is their, one of their top three. Sometimes those factors are not specifically what they're going to be doing on the job, but how they are going to be incorporating the job into their lives. And I love those. I love those answers.
How have you seen candidates talk about those top three characteristics effectively in their resume?
Well, now that's a great question. I have not seen folks explicitly say, here are what I need from a job, because that's something that in their resume specifically, but seeing that progression from one position to another is really what gives me a sense of where they're going. You know, I like when one thing that people have a tendency to do, especially women and especially folks from marginalized or underrepresented communities, is that they try to check every box that's on the job description. They won't apply unless they believe that they meet every single criteria. For the most case, overwhelmingly, the majority of those people will not even apply for roles. And I just try to help folks understand that recruiters, hiring managers, the ones that are more forward-thinking and innovative, they're not necessarily looking for someone who has everything. They don't want someone who's at the top, you know, that checks all the boxes, so to speak. They want someone that can grow in the position as well as grow outside of the position into their next one as well.
Another tip that you share about what matters most to recruiters when scanning a resume is to pay attention to optics. What kind of optics are we talking about, Kirsten?
So it's not so much what happens when you copy and paste your resume up into the ATS. That's not what I mean by optics. I mean, you don't have any control over how the system or how the AI tool rearranges or organizes your things. Now, recruiters are going to open the attachment, and I mean your physical resume in that regards. So it's not so much a matter of don't have pictures, don't have, you know, beautiful graphics. That's not what I'm saying. It's the way it's organized. Just has to be orderly and not chaotic. Like, I have to be able to see certain things and not go searching. And some things I've seen are like, you know, weird fonts or words that are bolded for no apparent reason. Long lists of things, like, again, up front instead of me learning more about you. Long paragraphs and sentences as opposed to bulleted lists as well are another thing that kind of throws a recruiter into a loop, and they have to spend more time searching for information.
Your final piece of advice about what matters most when a recruiter looks at a resume is to write in your own voice, but in a way that others can understand. What is a resume that does that look like?
Again, it's tying, using the language of the employer or using the language of your role, using the language of your industry matters. But you can do that in a way where you're not just having a laundry list of unconnected buzzwords, if that makes sense.
It does. Well, it's been a great conversation, Kirsten. Now tell us, what's next for you?
What's next for me? So as you mentioned at the top of the show, I do have a live show on LinkedIn, Twitter, and Facebook every Wednesday called Trap Chat Live. I bring in guests from various walks of life, not job seekers, as well as HR leaders, mental health professionals. This past month was focused on AI tools and how we use them in the recruiting process. I've done shows completely dedicated to the job seeker, where I had job seekers come on and provide advice. So tune into that. It's on Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. And then, I don't know, I guess whatever else folks ask me to do.
I know that listeners can learn more about you and what you're up to in the coming future by visiting your website, www.traprecruiters.co, and that you also invite listeners to connect with you on LinkedIn. And if they do so, I hope they'll mention that they heard you on the show. Now, Kirsten, given all the great advice you've shared today, what's the one thing you want a listener to remember about what matters most when a recruiter looks at your resume?
You matter most. Highlight the best of your achievements.
Make sure you never miss an episode of Find Your Dream Job. Subscribe to our free podcast newsletter. You'll get information about our guests and transcripts of every show. Go to maxlist.org/newsletters. Again, that's maxlist.org/newsletters. Next week, our guest will be Portia Parker Griffin. She's the founder and CEO of Fly High Coaching. Her company helps you find your ideal career, generate an awesome income, and create a life you love. You can always expect to get behavioral questions in a job interview. That's because the interviewer wants to see examples of your experience. But which behavioral questions will a hiring manager use, and how can you prepare? Join us next Wednesday when Portia Parker Griffin and I talk about how to get ready for any behavioral interview question. Until next time, thanks for letting us help you find your dream job. This show is produced by MaxList. Susan Thornton Hoff schedules our guests and writes our newsletter. Lisa Kislin-Barry Anderson manages our social media. Our sound engineer is Matt Fiorillo. Ryan Morrison at Podfly Productions edits the show. Dawn Mole creates our transcripts, and our music is by Freddie Trujillo. This is Mac Pritchard. See you next week.